At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at bragworthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out. Indecision. Overthinking. Second-guessing every choice you make. In. Plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out. Beige on beige on beige. Ugh. In. Knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
824, Tommy Tucker, WWL, joined now by Joe Geruso, New Orleans City Council member. How you doing, Joe?
I'm good, Tommy. Sorry, I was a little late there.
Yeah, no worries at all. I was talking about Nathan Pierce and a story in the NOLA.com today about the people that he clothes and his tailor operation in Baton Rouge. I'm just curious, you're a successful guy. Have you ever had a suit custom made or not?
I have not. I may once in my life had a shirt that was custom made. Mm-hmm. And then once I saw the price tag, I was like, maybe I'm more of off the rack kind of guy.
Yeah, I am too. But just once, I want to have a suit tailor made around me, and I want to stand up, and I want to have the sleeveless jacket. You know what I'm talking about? Where they're marking the chalk all over it and everything else, just to feel like a big dog.
I think once it's worth a shot. Yeah. I'm not there yet.
And by the time I can afford that, they're going to rip the back out of it and lay me in the box. Let's talk about...
Well,
yeah.
If you gotta, I was going to say tariffs may catch up with you before then, so
there
we'll
you
see.
Go. If you got to go, you got to go. Let's talk about tariffs on the city budget, as a matter of fact. Are you concerned about that? Is that something that throws a wild card in the city spending?
The tariffs so far don't super concern me for the city budget. I think we've tried to acquire a bunch of vehicles before all of this happened. But certainly, think about it, if they're saying there's going to be something between $3,000 to $7,000 more per vehicle, and cities tend to buy in bulk, that's a significantly more money if you're buying more cars. And since COVID, things have had a longer lead time. So these things have a tendency of cascading, and you do tend to worry a little bit about what's going to happen. And obviously, the biggest thing for us is how can you try and keep costs down and revenue up? So we're going to keep an eye on it. And obviously, the other thing too, Tommy, is are there cuts that are happening at the federal level to other federal programs and then decisions that have to be made there? Again, so far, we haven't seen the overwhelming cut of things that are affecting New Orleans, but I think we have to prepare. And as I've always said, you watch and be vigilant. It doesn't mean that you're an alarmist.
And also, you can't pretend or plan on everything going perfectly smoothly because, as we all know, it never does.
That's exactly right. Well, and look, that's a really good point. Because I think early when I was elected, I was frustrated with the administration because let's know every dollar to the detail and where every penny is, and you want to know. And to your point, there's going to be stuff that happens. A city budget is much like your home. The refrigerator is going to break. The car garage is going to break. You're going to get a pop tire. You need some extra money in some places to make up for that. And so I think the city and most cities build contingencies into their budget for natural events, for unexpected downturns, for things happening at the federal government. And so you have to kind of build your budget out, not with the idea of you're going to spend every single last penny like you may die that year, but with some held back in reserve and trying to do what's going to happen, because you're 100% right. There's never a perfect year.
Living within your means, same thing when it comes to budgeting. So let's talk about, the city is not exactly flush with cash, I don't think. Talk about the school board settlement. I tried to explain the skim briefly. I think it started with $120 million the city skimmed from the school board. Settlement was $90 million. Now we're down to $10 million. Am I close to accurate there, Joe?
Yeah, I mean, let's talk about this. So the deal is kind of three parts. The first part is $20 million cash in hand to the school board, and that was supposed to be $10 million at the beginning of January and the second $10 million at the beginning of April. We filed ordinances just now to fund the second $10 million payment. Apparently yesterday, the chief financial officer filed a temporary restraining order to prevent the first $10 million from going out the door, when my understanding was the administration said they were going to honor that, and the judge said they were ordered to make that payment. So we'll see what happens there. I don't understand it too, Tommy, because it seems like if the mayor signed the budget ordinance allowing the $10 million to be spent, have somebody who is her junior can override what she does, but that's a story for another day, I guess. The second part of it is what you talked about, the skimming. The city has taken an administrative fee off of the funds collected, and we would stop doing that. Councilmember Morrell has a specific ordinance to prohibit that practice. And then the last piece is essentially the rest of the payment over a 10-year period, with about $7 million per year going to mental health through Thrive Kids or a program like that for kids who are incarcerated using the HERA funds that we have, and then $1 million per year for workforce education, such as through Youth Force NOLA. So it's a real way to not put all the money on the table right now, to smooth out the problems that the school board is having, to take this huge liability off the city's books, and to make sure that those programs that are really important for economic stability, for safety, are scaled up and out, so that way kids have a chance to thrive and grow in the city.
Thank you, Joe. Get yourself a suit. You deserve it. You got that big legal job coming up. You're going to have to look sharp in court.
I appreciate it, Tommy. I'll let them know.
Don't charge it to me. Just go get one. Joe Geruso, New Orleans City Council member, will take a break. Talk to Patrick McMath, Louisiana State Senator, about the upcoming session, fortified roofs, and more. Right now, time for WWL First News. 8:45, 16 till 9, Tommy Tucker, WWL. Another windy, hot, I'll say, muggy day ahead. And next hour, we're going to talk to Alex Hammerstone, Director of Advisory Solutions for Trusted Sec. We had a lot of confusion going on with tolls with the Belchase Bridge. Also, a lot of texts that are being sent out about unpaid tolls. It's a scam. We'll delve into that with Alex. Then we're going to talk to Deuce McAllister, about his thoughts on how the Saints' offseason's gone so far. Kellen Moore, what his biggest questions are. Look ahead to the draft. So a lot coming up there. Right now, we're joined by Louisiana State Senator Patrick McMath from Covington to talk about the upcoming session. Good morning, Senator. How are you?
Good morning, Tommy. How you doing?
I'm all right, sir. Tell me what some of your things that you're focused on for the session, some of the bills you pre-filed are about.
Well, first and foremost, you know, insurance rates, home, auto, that's something that's always on the top of people's minds, something that we hear of, and quite honestly, we pay too much for it, both me personally and my constituents. And so we're doing I got a bill that I'd like to talk to you about today. I just filed it, Senate Bill 52. It provides a tax exemption for if you receive a fortified roof grant to beef up your roof. So I was surprised, quite honestly, that grant was taxed as income when I found out just a few days ago. And so filed this bill to make it easier and more affordable for folks to fortify their homes, and in preparation of of the storms that we have to endure in Louisiana, and with an attempt to help lower homeowners insurance premiums.
I want to ask you about that, because I was talking to a guy that owns a roofing company not too long ago, and he echoed something that somebody told me before Katrina, and that it concerns garage doors. And if the garage door is not fortified and the garage door comes off, fortified roof or not, if it's like 120 mile an hour winds, the door kind of folds like an aluminum can. And at that point, the wind rushes in and, fortified or not, lifts the roof off your house. And I had forgotten about that until I was talking to this man in the roofing business. And that kind of got my attention about insurance rates and fortified roofs, et cetera. Has any thought been given to that? Any research in the fortification of garage doors? Or
the details behind the Diddy indictment. Taylor Swift's stalkers. Jerry Lee trying to kill Elvis. Disgraceland dives into the dark side of entertainment every Tuesday. Follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
For the importance of it?
I think you might have just stumbled upon a pretty good business idea there, Tommy. Something I didn't think of, quite honestly, yeah, until you just said that. But from a construction standpoint, it makes perfect sense. We need to get the Insurance Institute to take a look at that.
So is that something legislatively you would begin to look at or not?
Well, I don't know of any program that has a fortified garage door program,
uh-huh.
but I guess we need to look into it.
Talk about the fortified roof program. Is there any way a fortified home, and I guess if you're going to include garage doors, it would be a fortified home, but is there any way to find more money to expand that program so more people, because as it stands now, it's a lottery, right? So maybe you can, maybe you can't, depends if your number comes up, to make it more available to people?
It is, and we need, as a legislature, we need to prioritize. I mean, and we do. We've got a lot of people up there right now that are fighting on figuring out ways to lower not just homeowners insurance, but auto insurance and health insurance, quite honestly. That grant amount would be considered, a one-time expense that the state legislature can allocate money to every year. And as long as we have money to put into that program, I think you're going to see that being prioritized. Because, again, we have to make Louisiana affordable for people to live.
Somebody texted in about car insurance, and they related it to tariffs. And I don't mean to bring you into the tariff conversation, but they're saying that if the price of cars goes up, price of used cars go up. If something gets damaged, it's going to have to be replaced. The price of that goes up, perhaps, with tariffs. Are you concerned about that as it relates to the fight to bring down auto insurance rates in the state?
Yeah, I think everything's obviously connected with what's going on with the Trump administration and these proposed tariffs. It's my understanding, though, that those tariffs are for vehicles that are made outside of the United States and imported in. So I would encourage buy U.S. while you can. And but look, we're also, I got to give it to Governor Landry and Secretary Susan Bourgeois. We've just made a tremendous announcement about the Hyundai steel manufacturing plant that's coming to Louisiana. It is known and it is out there that Louisiana is open for business with the Meta data center that's going in Richland Parish in North Louisiana, the Hyundai plant. There is over 300 projects that are in the pipeline that Secretary Bourgeois and Governor Landry are working to bring to Louisiana. There's no reason why we shouldn't be able to get an auto plan if one's on the table.
But you know, when it comes to buying American, that's not as easy as it sounds because the parts are made here and maybe cross the border several times back and forth till they wind up in a car.
I am fairly certain that I was driving on the interstate the other day and a rock flew up and busted my windshield. And I'm fairly certain I'm going to have to import that windshield. I'm not looking forward to the extra 25%. I can tell you that.
Okay, let's take a break. We'll pick it up. We come back 8:50, 10 till 9. Traffic now, WWL. 8:55, 5 till 9. Tommy Tucker, WWL, talking to State Senator Patrick McMath about the upcoming session. Back in March, West Virginia Governor Patrick Morrisey signed a bill in a law that the legislature passed to eliminate 7 artificial dyes: red dye number 3, number 40, yellow dye number 5, number 6, blue dye number 1, number 2, green dye number 3 from food products and drugs sold in the state, and the preservatives, and I got to be careful here, I don't want to curse, butylated hydroxyanisole and propylparaben will also be banned. And Senator McMath, I know you've also addressed some of the stuff that's going to be included or should be included in school lunches, right? Talk about that.
That's right. And this bill, Tommy, it's Senate Bill 14. This is the one that I'm by far and away the most excited about. I chair the Senate Health and Welfare Committee. I find it's one of my duties and obligations as the chairman of that committee to promote and ensure that folks are educated at the very least on what makes them healthy and what makes them sick. And food has a tremendous amount to do with how we feel and how our body operates. It is literally the fuel that fuels us, right? And so I went down this rabbit hole. To get a little personal, my wife was diagnosed with a nutrition-based illness about a year and a half ago, and really kind of dug into the research and started reading books and listening to podcasts about nutrition. And if you haven't read it yet, please, I would encourage everyone to go and read Good Energy by Casey and Callie Means. And that book and others that I've read and discussions that I've had with those folks and RFK Jr. is a big promoter of this, has really led me to how we got to Senate Bill 14. And it is a comprehensive nutrition-based bill. It deals with everything from prohibiting ultra-processed food in schools to requiring warning labels for products that contain ingredients that are banned already in Europe that have been found to be dangerous. It deals in seed oils and continuing education for physicians. It is by far and away the most comprehensive nutrition bill that's going to go through any legislature this year. But it's based on bills that have gone through West Virginia, like you said, Texas, Utah, Arizona, Florida. All of these states are passing legislation because there's this tremendous movement that's taking place right now in this country post-COVID, where people are really paying attention for the first time in a very, very long time to their personal health and their children's health and what goes in food and what ingredients are in the stores that we're shopping in and what chemicals we're using on our plants. And so this bill is a reflection of that movement.
I'm not a big fan of processed food, but have you ever seen the documentary Fed Up?
I have.
And you know the damage that sugar causes to young people and obesity and the problems that result as a result that happen as a result of people consuming so much sugar, right?
Louisiana has nearly a 40% obesity rate. All right, it's one of the highest in the country, and a country, by the way, that has the highest obesity rate in the world. So another list that we shouldn't be on. But I think a lot of it has to do with the fact that we're consuming things that didn't exist 80 years ago, like the artificial sugars and the dyes. And if you can't, like you had a very difficult time pronouncing an ingredient. If you have a hard time, reading a word, you probably shouldn't be eating it because it's not real. It's not natural. And our bodies don't know how to process that. Right. And it's no one's fault. This is big food and it's been a very profitable business. Yep.
Got to run. Senator, good luck with doing anything with sugar in the state because it's not going to happen. And, if you saw Fed Up, the Obamas tried to take on big food and that didn't happen so well either. It backed them down. So I would suggest y'all watch Fed Up if you get a chance. They got a little bit of politics in there, but mainly stick to the science about how your body processes sugar, and it'll explain why so many of us have so hard of a time maintaining our weight. Thank you, Senator McMath. We'll be back with Alex Hammerstone and Internet Scams.